Well, I don't feel like I'm a part of the everyday American society, and I don't want to be, let me tell you. Okay? I do my damnedest to tear it down.
A governor's task force has determined that punk rockers are society's new subversives and must be treated as such.
Taxation is theft.
Oh! God damn it, motherfucker!
Yeah. We're talking peace, love, and honor.
These governments of this world are coming to an end.
The FBI is feeling the heat.
The BR Hates Fed Show. Welcome to the Rice Fields, motherfuckers.
What's up, lads and ladies? I'm BR and I hate feds, and it is Thursday, the 3rd of June, 2021. You might be wondering why I'm recording this on a Thursday, and that's because I am still fucking destroyed from Childeberg. My voice is run into shit from what was essentially 3 days straight of podcasting, just talking to other like-minded people, and oh my god, I'm not sure how I'm gonna do a full episode. I've tried recording this maybe three times so far, and it's just gone from talking at length and talking so passionately about this stuff to so many awesome people. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I'd do it again tomorrow as a mute if I had to, but. So, yeah, that's where I've been. Apologies for the late episode, people. I was trying to do it without destroying my vocal cords, but I think that's just what we're going to have to settle for. My girlfriend's a singer, and she was like, you need vocal rest. And, I don't know, I haven't missed a single week so far. So, I've been late maybe twice, I think. Friday episodes instead of Thursday episodes. Jesus Christ. and so I'm, like, being stubborn and pushing on. I hope it's not too hard to listen to me fucking ripping my vocal cords apart. But I had to share my experience out in Texas. A lot of you guys are going to be more Instagram based than Twitter, so you might hear Childeberg and wonder what the fuck I'm on about. And so it's this event. This was the third year it's happened. Big camping event of libertarians, anarchists, agorists, all assorted freaks and weirdos, lovely, wonderful people. And so this third year they've done it. It was organized by Jacob of Tasting Anarchy and the Timeline Earth Boys, I guess primarily Carr, because this was Burticist's first year down. So previously it's been like, I need to get the numbers. All right, so Jacob, or the Childeberg account itself, reckons Childeberg 1, 30 people, Childeberg 2, or 2 for the slower people like myself, 40 people, and Childeberg 3, in the words of Carr, Childeberg touched at least 200 people. At the show, we counted about 200 that were there because of us. And at the campsite, it generally felt like there was around, you know, a little over 100, 115 kind of people camping for the bulk, like the core of the weekend before, after people had arrived and before people started leaving. So, holy shit, it was, that was the biggest amount of anarchists I've ever been around, which was really fucking cool. And it was kind of an education in and of itself, because I mean, for those of you who regularly listen to this show, I know some of you might have only just heard of me this weekend, and, hello, nice to have you. But previously we talked about intentional communities on this show, and so there's so much I could talk about with how the weekend went down, itself, and I'm gonna do my own version of that on the E-Militia. I'm gonna do that with Typo, Spirit Resistance, and Sassy's Raiders, and I'd like to get Jacob on from Tasting Anarchy, the organizer, and see if we could chat about how it went down, expectations, and hopes for the next year. But in the meantime, I want to focus on this more from the communal aspect, because again, for those that are newer to this side of the community, are newer to Childeberg, whatever the case might be, Jacob also runs a podcast called CA in Exile, California in Exile, and it's focused primarily on the idea of building an intentional community, that being a self-sustaining, usually self-sustaining, homesteaders community built up of people with aligned goals, looking to unplug from the system and do their own thing. And so he had this concept after hosting the first two Childebergs, seeing just how smoothly it went, and that was with, you know, 30 and then 40 people. And so we had much the same experience again this weekend. I mean, Jesus. So previously, you know, I've had gone together with the E-Militia, had our little live recording and weekend together with Kerry Wedler and our spouses, partners, whatever you want to call them. And it went so fucking smoothly. It was a breeze. But there was maybe 10, 12 of us off the top of my head. So, you know, things were pretty easy. Like, you can usually get shit done pretty good in a group that size. But I have to stress, everything was so fucking effortless. A bunch of people who, you know, we'd been working on a podcast for 2 years prior, but we had never so much as seen each other on like a video call. Didn't know each other's last names. We were like OPSEC and paranoid as fuck. And so this was the first time we ever got to relax. And so it was such a fucking relief. Seeing how easy it was with these people that we, you know, you feel like you already know, like, and really well when you put the time in together and you're always working on things. You know, these are more than co-workers because or colleagues, because these are people I want to do this stuff with, and I genuinely really enjoy as people. And our principles, of course, line up. And so times that by, I guess 10 for a group of 10, get up to around the 100 people mark, and that's where they reckon that's about the limit of good friends you can have, you know, people you interact with very regularly.
And so that's kind of the ideal number for, you know, a little village, a tribe, whatever, a community, or a small bubble of a community that frequently interacts and deals with each other. That's kind of the ideal. We don't have strangers, there's mutual trust, there's no one's really a stranger. You know, there might be an acquaintance, and that certainly happened this weekend. There was so many fucking cool people I didn't even get a chance to talk to. I might have, you know, might have participated in something with them, like the mead tasting. Thank you, Agora Brewing. If you haven't checked them out on Twitter, certainly do so. Holy shit, I'm gonna have to pause on the rest of this thing to just talk about tasting mead, which is, forgive my fucking ignorance, dude. I think he's banned on Twitter at the minute, but, so, check out Tasting Anarchy in the meantime. But he brought down mead that he brewed himself, and mead, again, forgive my ignorance, I think is some kind of wine made from, like, the bases. Honey, I forget, I'm a dummy, I just like alcohol, I don't know how it's made, but, yeah, what he brought down, it was everything from, like, very sweet stuff to, like, a fake beer, or a fake lager, I forget which one, and, going up to pretty potent meads that were quite spicy. They had, like, habanero, jalapeno, whatever, mixed in them. He did some, one that was brewed in old whiskey barrels with coffee beans. Just holy shit, that guy, just, you know, as a hobby, to my knowledge, really impressive stuff. And he did this, he did such a fucking killer job doing a tasting with this group of, I guess it must have been about 40, 50 anarchists waiting around for a sip of the various meads he was dishing out. Oh, and the really cool thing was the whole event, not just his mead tasting, once it paid for itself and had, you know, it was in the black, everything that was profit went towards the Free Ross Foundation. So that's Free and Ross Ulbricht from the two consecutive life sentences plus 40 years he got for running Silk Road and the bullshit charges he was given afterwards. And so it goes towards the campaign to free him for the victimless crimes that he's been fucking... I mean, Jesus Christ, it's a whole thing, but two consecutive life sentences plus 40 years. The man never hurt anyone. The biggest thing you'll hear in combatants to that is that he ordered hits on people, and one of the guys who the hit was allegedly called on is a big advocate for Ross and his freedom. So make of that what you will. Personally, the E-Militia and myself, as well as everyone at Childeberg, big advocates for Ross Ulbricht's freedom, and it was really cool. I think it was either $1,200 or $1,400 was raised for Free Ross by Childeberg this weekend, so really fucking cool. And literally from people, so not to downplay what the event was, but it's a bunch of anarchists going camping in Texas, a little south of Austin. And so people bring their various wares down. There was, I forget her boyfriend's name, but Rachel Tobias, Rachel D. Tobias on Twitter. Really funny lady. She just approached our campsite, was shooting the shit with us, and was like, hey, can I do some stand-up? And, very, very funny chick. Hope to see them down again. I bought some hot sauce from them. They make their own labels. It was an agorist paradise. I mean, people just going around, it wasn't like a market. People weren't just shilling their wares, but it's like, oh yeah, I do this. And, just in conversation, if you want to pick up what I'm doing, I'm making this art, I'm making this hot sauce, I'm making whatever it might be. I've got that if you want to buy some, and accept anything from trades to fiat to crypto, of course, silver, bullets. I mean, people were doing some crazy, crazy trades, and that's what I love to see. It was fucking blissful, ladies and gentlemen. I can't get over that quite enough. It was a weekend living as I personally believe we're supposed to, and as I would, prefer to live. Not in a tent, and I'm not sure about the Texas humidity, although me and my lady, you just heard on episode 17, the previous episode, I came back, she didn't even come with me, I went with Typo and Spirit Resistance. I came back singing, singing Texas's praises, and I've been before, but I don't know, maybe I hadn't seen it as green as that. I hadn't been to the Austin area. I think I'd been to Dallas before, which is just, I fucking hate cities. So I was just like, Texas, I drove through a bunch of scrub plains and desert and then arrived in Dallas and wasn't particularly impressed. But this time, it is such a beautiful camping ground. It's, if you're in Texas or if you're passing through before the next Childeberg 4, or I forget the German name for it. There's various themes to each year. Yeah, if you're ever passing through Texas, and especially the Austin area, check out Muleshoe Recreational Area. It is fucking gorgeous. I'm going to be posting some pictures on my new Substack, and that's something else. That's a whole other thing I'll have to get into later, and I'll plug that at the end of the show. Link will be in the description of this. My new Substack, the Anarch, that's A-N-A-R-C-H, like anarchist, without I-S-T at the end. And so I'm going to be posting at some point pictures from Childeberg and probably a write-up of it. It's just gorgeous. It's this big wraparound lake on this hilled campsite. And it's this rolling hill that goes from the water up a fair way. So, you know, your tent's not gonna flood in the middle of the night. Unless you were there on Friday, which I was not. Myself, SOR, and Typo were all driving from Arizona to Texas, and we left Friday evening Arizona time and got there Saturday, I guess 10 or 11-ish Saturday. And when we arrived, everyone was hanging their tents upside down from the trees. I thought I really did think I rolled up on a cult for a second. But it turns out Texas had been fucking hit by a pretty significant storm the night before, and people were drenched from the rain. So they all had a good time in the end, but they had a rough Friday night. I arrived bone dry, just already stinking like a hippie from 14 and a half hours in a truck. So the campsite, beautiful, rolls up away from the lake onto the hill. You got these lovely little trees dotted around offering some shade. And then there's this low field of wildflowers behind the main campsite, Texan wildflowers. And again, I'd only been to the more, cowpoke kind of parts of Texas, where it's just fucking dust and not much else. Kind of like all of New Mexico. And I mean all of it, apart from Cloudcroft. Apart from the mountains, really. But it's so green and so beautiful, and these rolling hills that just hide away these hidden treasures, like Mule Shoe Recreational Area. Definitely check it out. And for the Instagram people who aren't so plugged into the Twitter community, I really, really encourage you, go over there, check people out. Childeberg, Timeline Earth, Asakist. In this episode, I got to show so much love to all the people there. Hey, how's it going, guys? I just want to take a quick second to answer a question I get quite a bit these days. So a lot of people ask me, BR, how can I support what you do, your shows, and all that good stuff? The best way to do that is to check out my lifestyle brand, Liberty Punk Inc. Covering all your niche political shirts, stickers, and flags needs. Everything from slaps that are weatherproof, can go on your car, go on your hydro flask, all that good stuff, to full-sized flags you can fly outside your house, fly at rallies, present something a little bit different. Our Peace, Autonomy, Liberty, or our Anarcho Betsy flag are always popular. We have a whole ton of clothing options too, of course, and you can stop wearing all that grunt-style shit and start wearing something that truly shows off your belief in actual liberty. Best way to find all that is to search Liberty Punk Inc. online, or you can go directly to spiritofresistance.com, find the Liberty Punk Inc. collection, or you can follow the link in the description of any of my solo show videos and find my store that way. Every purchase supports me and what I do, Spirit Resistance, and we have a pot for liberty community issues. If you pick something up, feel free to tag me. Thanks for all your support, guys, and let's get back to the show. I'm just tripping over myself here, because it was an awesome weekend, and I already got fucking withdrawal, because this genuinely is how I think we should be doing things, just the kind of easy interactions that were had all weekend, no matter who I spoke to, no matter what part of the community they were in, if they were crypto guys, gun guys, I mean, gun guys is, my bread and butter, more theory guys, even Mises Caucus or more agorist or whichever, whatever your flavor was, we weren't there to sit around and discuss our favorite, between Stirner and Konkin and Kropotkin or whatever the fuck it might be. We were there to chill with like-minded people. And I don't know, it's something about that combination. It's like, I can say anything I fucking want. You guys are going to be like, yeah, man. And then fucking crack another beer for me, Or if you're Aeks, AEKS on Twitter, you're going to be passing me a fresh joint every 5 minutes. Fucking God bless that man. What a fucking hero. He kept everyone who wanted to be high as they wanted to be. Thank you for your service, sir. It was just the easiest interactions, no matter who you spoke to, how little you knew of them or what they did. I mean, there were so many times I was like, people were like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And they'd be like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm BR. And already, if you're not used to how I talk, people are like, I don't know what he's fucking saying. His name is Beer. That's a shitty name. So that was fun. Nah, you really can't take that shit personally when, let's say 70% of the people in attendance have a podcast. Maybe that's a little bit high. But at any given moment, that seemed to be the vibe that any given group, if you're like, all right, who here has a podcast? Maybe just because I was hanging out with the podcasters. But it generally would be like like three quarters of the people in the group would be like, nah, I run a podcast. But so I'm not very offended when people don't know, haven't heard of me. It's early days as of yet. They'll all know my name someday. Does that sound threatening as fuck? Anyway, moving on. Genuinely, if you're an Instagram guy, if you really haven't checked out this community yet, and if you're someone who's wanted community, who's wanted to go and, you know, do something very different from sitting in our collective mother's basements and bitching about how things are, there is nothing quite as uplifting as seeing how many like-minded people are out there and how fucking good they are. Like, it's not like I arrived at this thing and it was like, oh fucking hell, what a fucking bunch of cunts. Every single person I met was so outlandishly nice and respectful and interesting. And any given time, if you needed something, sure enough, someone was there to help you out. Whether it was, you know, lifting a fucking canopy, or you needed some help with some food, you've forgotten something. So here's something that happened. I think Timeline Earth guys covered this already. But there was a on-site conversion, as the E-Militia podcast account on Twitter reported. So there was let me frame this for you. Childeberg, previously it was 30 to 40 people, right? And so poor Jacob, trying to manage this flood of people eager for socialization after a year of very limited interaction, plus the just growing nature of Childeberg, it was hard to know there would be this many people in attendance. And so, initially, first campsite, you know, pretty good size. You can fit a fair few people on there, like a little bit more than they had in previous years. And then as more and more people were like, oh, no, we're coming. He was reserving more and more different sites. At the same time, the site was just booking people anyway. And so I guess we ended up with kind of a staggered, you know, it would be like Childeberg for like three or four lots. And then there'd be a little bit where there'd be some normal, regular people, and then, you know, a little bit further, again, yet more, rabid, autistic anarchists. And, honestly, we didn't have any troubles. We didn't butt heads with anyone, to my knowledge. We were probably, like, a little bit loud, maybe, like, Saturday night, coming back from Iron Wolf Distillery after the show. There was Owen Glass performed, Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the other acts, but those were kind of like the main event, and then there was a few other people doing some music, doing some comedy. Yeah, it was a really, really cool time. And so we came back rowdy as fuck, of course. They had set up a shuttle from the Iron Wolf Distillery. It's maybe 10-15 minutes away, depending on how you drive, from Mule Shoe Recreational Area, which is currently where Childeberg is hosted. That might change in the next few years, but for now, that seems to be its home. I think definitely it's going to be Mule Shoe Recreational Area for the fourth year. And so people were very responsibly bussing back and forth, a bunch of the people who were at the distillery, and I was racked from the drive. I had like an hour and a half of sleep, not that I drove all the way. SOR did like damn near all of it. I did an hour and a half, and Typo slept through the the initial drive there. He did some more driving on the way back, but wow, the majority of us had some fucking energy Saturday night, and we were partying pretty late. Again, no issues. I don't think, I mean, it's what you do when you're out there, you know, you're hanging out late, sitting around the fire, enjoying yourself. So, no issues there. And I think inevitably this event will, you know, we'll butt heads somewhere. Although, next year we're getting one big chunk all together, probably far away from everyone. So, you know, it's, as this thing grows, the planning that Jacob and others are putting into it is also adapting. So really, there shouldn't be any button of heads. But it was just cool to see, because myself and I saw someone else with a black flag with a circle A in it, and then I was flying my Peace, Autonomy, Liberty flag. Gotta plug that one. from my merch store. Link in the bio. Have to say it, otherwise SOR will fucking be clipping my ears after the show. And so I was flying this. I thought I was right in the middle of a bunch of anarchists, but really, we were way the fuck away from most of them. There was like a good group scattered around us. It's not like we were, you know, hundreds of meters away from other camps, but we were right next door to a normal camp. They were flying like an American flag, getting on their grilling, you know, kids running around. But I mean, it's not like we're sitting there, you know, engaging in degeneracy, you know, corrupting the youth and all that in front of these people. We were just a bunch of campers with some black flags, you know. And a few of us might have been tripping, but we were doing it responsibly. Oh my god, that's something else I gotta get into. So I had the great pleasure of sitting down with two guys from the Libertarian Institute, both Scott Horton and Tommy Salmons. And holy shit, Tommy Salmons of the Year Zero podcast. And of course, Scott Horton of antiwar.com fame and all he does. And I thought, I knew they'd be there, but I thought they'd be swinging in and out. And Scott Horton especially, I thought we'd all be fucking autists around. I thought he'd be fed up with us within, you know, within half an hour of signing books and taking pictures. I won't share quite how much he relaxed, but and he was chilling. He wasn't in a suit. I know we all have that vision of him standing in front of a, you know, standing on a stage giving some kind of speech or hosting his show, hosting some kind of interview with the great Ron Paul. But no, he was just sitting there around the campsite, chilling with all of us, engaging in some vices, relaxing. And being cool as fuck, just, you know, shooting the shit, chatting about stuff, and it was so awesome to hear when someone in the group was piping up about anti-war stuff, you know, like, if you're amongst your libertarian mates, you'll always have one guy who, you know, maybe the veteran of the group or whatever, who's a bit more gung-ho about the stuff, be like, oh yeah, and the Afghan papers, and, you know, just come out with some kind of rant. But when that guy in your circle of shooting the shit is Scott Horton, what a fucking pleasure. And I got him to sign. So a lot of you have seen my my patch job jacket with the Union Jack on the back with the Gadsden snake sprayed on it and all that stuff. I got Scott Horton to sign my jacket. I got him to sign it, Tony Blair's a bastard, and then Scott Horton. So thank you, Scott. That was really fucking cool. Really. I didn't have the book with me, so I was like, oh, I feel like an idiot. I got nothing to sign. I was like, I'm not gonna get him to sign a fucking Kropotkin book. That's strange. But yeah, much better than half the bands out there right now that I could ask to sign it. It's yeah, fucking nice little takeaway. I got myself some hot sauce and Scott Horton's signature, and then Agora Brewing had a bunch of don't vote for anybody stickers. I think that's what I said. And on the gray and black agorist flag. So I'm going to be slapping those somewhere. But yeah, guys, I think we can make anarchism work. Tommy Salmons, the guy I was just talking about from Year Zero, shortly after it, he posted, you know, Minarchist. Where has anarchy worked? And his answer, Childeberg. And truly, It sounds silly, but on a small scale, it worked fucking flawlessly. No one had to be, you know, going around telling people what to do. No one had to berate people to pick up after themselves. Like when the wind started picking up, I guess maybe Sunday, everyone was like, oh shit, we have, you know, fucking crushed cans lying everywhere. I mean, we're having a party, right? It's kind of a shit show. Wind picked up just the tiniest bit. And it was starting to spit, and everyone's like, all right, everyone got out trash bags and cardboard boxes. And I know I said trash. Sorry for my Euro trash listeners. I should be saying rubbish. But yeah, everyone started collecting stuff up. And by the time we left that place, I've got pictures. Most of my pictures, if they weren't from when I was tripping or taking edibles, which was kind of my reprieve from the socialization, because I'm definitely an introvert, like about half the people there. All my pictures from the end of the thing, the place looks spotless. Both our place and the normal campers. So, you know, props to them. I guess maybe it's a Texan thing. Even though we had people coming from all over the place. I mean, myself, a Brit, but also, you know, people carting in from Arizona. Freebird came down from Chicago. We had Anthony Samaroff, you might have heard on Tom Woods and a few other places, all the way from Scotland. So I had a fellow Brit with me, which was kind of nice. Of course, Bird flew down from fucking New York, although he had a bit of a road trip through Florida, etc. People did many miles to get there, and people from all over, all sorts of different backgrounds, and like I said, introvert, extrovert, socially adept, socially awkward, speaking for myself and my friends, make of that what you will. And it was such an easy time, just chilling with the boys, white boy summer. that Sunday night, allegedly, this might have happened, you know, allegedly, there was a Tupperware going around with mushrooms, you know, in case anyone was, hungry. some psilocybin mushrooms were passed around Sunday night for anyone who wanted them, by a very generous lady. I didn't get her name. She was one of the people I didn't speak to, but holy shit, what a fucking angel. Thank you. That was a good time, because everyone who, you know, enjoys tripping, enjoys psychedelics, got a chance to do them with, again, like-minded people they'd been having a good time with all weekend. And I won't expose anyone until they opt to themselves. Because I don't know what kind of risks people like to take talking about this stuff on their shows. But, if I do go on their show, I'll talk about it with them, or have them on mine. But, yeah, some individuals I enjoyed my time at Childeberg with, decided to opt in on the psychedelics, and everyone kind of went off and did their own thing for the most part. We all, you know, were mixing. Some guys were recording live podcasts. I know Slurp Gang, they were recording their thing live. I know Robbie the Fire Bernstein, he recorded his show live. I don't know if Timeline Earth, if they did one, or if they were just recording on other people's shows. But while they were doing that, a lot of us were, we ate. Oh, holy shit, I gotta get into the fucking fat Konkin burger. But, I'm again jumping the gun. But, yeah, people were just kind of vibing, going around, mixing with others. Shout out to Gavin, who we spent a lot of time with, smoking and joking. And his guy, you guys were fucking so cool to hang out with. And, it was Gavin's man's first time on acid, so I came and sat on the tailgate with him and was just chilling, because I was on some pretty fucking strong edibles at the time before I took the shrooms. And then after, I think they probably come down by the time I returned on shrooms. I was then just chilling with them and a small group of people in the dark, talking about life and politics and where this thing's going. And it was just optimism and just good fucking energy all around. And fuck it, I'll sound like the hippie. I got so much creative energy from this weekend. Even though I've lost my voice, or I lost my voice the past couple days, and even though it's still killing me, I have been busting my ass. I haven't been sitting and moping for myself because I couldn't record. I went and started a Substack. That seems like the logical move at this point. I'll get into the Substack after this last thing about the food and the cult conversion. I've jumped all over the fucking place because I was just so excited about the weekend. So it's a disorganized mess, so I guess you're gonna have to go and see it for yourself. But, so the food. Shout out to at Cook Shanty on Twitter, Flavortown Cook Shanty. They, some guys from Illinois, and they made a lot of the food for Chilliberg, and holy shit, something, I'm not sure if it's permeated Instagram yet, but on Twitter, something that's been going around is the Fat Konkan Burger. And what is the Fat Konkan Burger, I hear you ask? Well, it is fucking life-changing and delicious, and I did not expect that. So, obviously named for the great and chunky Samuel Edward Konkan III, the originator of the agorist ideology and kind of school of thought amongst anarchists, and obviously the originator of an agorist primer. And so the burger was named for him, and for whatever reason. That I'm not particularly clear on. Maybe I'll have to go and hunt that down. But the recipe, for those who are curious and can't wait until Childeberg 4, is a potato roll. And this is from Cook Shanty himself, so, and he's the one who cooked these, and they were fucking excellent. I was, again, very high on THC edibles at the time. I wasn't on shrooms yet, so it was exactly what I fucking needed. Anyway, it was a potato roll, a beef patty cooked to your liking, Guinness and dark brown sugar in a pan, simmer it until it cooks down, toss in the chopped up bananas, I cook the bacon, and then throw it in the sauce with the bananas, assemble. And there is some controversy as to the layering of this sandwich. You'll have to find an expert in the subject matter. I think some other shows might have debated the particular order, but regardless, I made it. I came a little bit late to the line, so I just assembled it haphazardly and blazed myself, and it was still fucking excellent. I never expected to enjoy banana and beef patty at the same time, but what do you know? I'm fucking converted. I'm a new man. It made my fucking night. The shrooms and the Fat Konkan was life-saving. And then partnered that the next morning. I took my first dip in the lake because I'd been so busy hanging around with people. I hadn't even touched the water. There was this big fucking piece of water. You can bring a boat. You can bring, you know, whatever you want to do out on the water and do that out there. And I hadn't even enjoyed it. So last day before we left and drove back, I took a solo dip in the water. And it was borderline spiritual, maybe so much as a religious experience for me. Oh my god, fucking, I was walking on mud in the base of this lake, but the water was so, like, apparently there's some algae in there, but it looked pretty clean to me. It was so nice, man. So, lots of love for Childeberg. I'm going to do a further breakdown. I'm actually going to talk about both our trip there, as well as probably more the show, and then just kind of everyone's camp experiences. And that'll be with Typo of Bite the Bullet, Spirit Resistance, our merch guy and host of his own brand, and Sassy's Raiders, formerly on Instagram, now kind of exiled to Twitter, like myself. He came up with us for Saturday for the show. He only camped one night and threw up in SOR's tent, which I listened to and fucking enjoyed very much. I'm sorry to say. But we'll be doing a show with him, and again, I'm going to... Maybe I'll be able to get Jacob on. It'd be cool to have him speak directly to the Instagram guys. But anyway... So that was Childeberg. It was such a fucking good time. And it gave me a ton of inspiration for what I want to do next. And so that, I guess that's what we'll wrap up on in today's show. I have started a new Substack. And I guess we'll start with what a Substack is. Substack, they're a kind of a social media platform, but not in the, you know, everyone hop on and make your page. They're more... separate into your readers and writers when you jump on Substack. And so those of you who enjoy N Block Lee, and what N Block does, that is a Substack, and his is of course dedicated to kind of right-wing politics, 3D printed firearms, things of that nature. And so I've always admired the model he had. I didn't think I was really tech savvy enough to do it, but I did need an alternative to constantly being banned and looking for a new home, like a fucking nomad. And so Substack, they seem to be pretty censorship averse. So I figured, why not, you know, give them a go. They aim to host people who are, you know, journalists, if you have your own page. And so they're not looking to clamp down on your speech. They want you, because so the way it works is it is a free newsletter and kind of article website. And I can also host images, videos, and articles. So I'll be able to host things like my infographics, my all of my guides that I've been wanting to give a home for ages, as well as other people's guides should they want to contribute them or do their own thing. I'd, you know, advise thinking about either. As well as videos, I don't necessarily, you know, they don't necessarily have a home on any of the podcast stuff. Yeah, it'll afford me a great deal of freedom to get back into what I was doing on Instagram. A lot more of the visual stuff, a lot more of the long-winded captions I would do. Everyone tells me the captions are what fucked me because there's so many keywords in there that are controversial. And, you know, people like pages like Biting the Bullet on Instagram, they don't post any description, no hashtags, and they post really fucking spicy, untouchable stuff, and they've never been banned. So I think it's a me problem and what I do, and so this will be a better home for the kind of content I do. I do still aim to come back to Instagram someday. I'm trying. But for the time being, and really ongoing, Substack will allow me to host both free content, and I absolutely will still be doing that. All the stuff that I want people to be able to access to further their own journeys into liberty, anarchism, self-governance, as well as stuff that'll be, you know, more exclusive content. It'll be stuff that costs a bit of money to make. So I'll be looking to take subscriptions, and I'll be doing both at the same time. I'm never going to be like, oh, this is just a subscription thing now. That's not what I'm about. I'm about spreading this message, not from beyond a paywall. And so there'll just be, you know, some cooler shit. Again, stuff that takes a bit more time to put together, stuff that, as I hopefully build a subscriber base, I'll be able to do more and more stuff further afield and get some interesting shit done for you guys. The stuff that I've been wanting to do for a while, more personable interviews that I can, you know, travel and do them in person, as well as covering events, just, you know, like Childeberg, passing that on to you guys, because that's something I didn't really get into, but I will get into in the after-action report on eMilitia with the guys. We want to bring more Instagram people to Childeberg, and so my write-up, as well as that episode, as well as ongoing, we're going to keep on promoting this, keep on spreading the word of it to the Instagram community, and hopefully we'll be able to bring this Twitter and Instagram kind of these different areas together and have a lot of great cross-pollination, which is what I really like to see in this community. you can definitely hear we're coming up to the 50-minute mark, people. My voice is fucked. Anyway, let's try and wrap this up before I spit blood over my mic. check it out, my Substack. It's going to be called, or it is cool, it's live right now. You can find it. The link will be in the description of this episode, wherever you find it. It's called The Anarch, so that's just like The Anarchist, but without ist at the end. TheAnarch.substack.com. And I'm gonna, that link is gonna be plastered everywhere. Hopefully, my eMilitia co-hosts, they'll be helping me out on Instagram, making that available to find. Fingers crossed, I gave them the link. I sent them my love. Let's hope they got my back. And so, yeah, I'm just gonna continue what I was doing on Instagram there, but to a more polished finish and with a lot higher word count, yeah, I'll be able to do really whatever I want. It's going to be a lot more of a fluid, creative space. It's going to be everything I love doing in a much more untouchable, less fragile feeling place. You'll be able to access archives of the stuff I've been putting together. It's not like those graphics went away. I still have them. And of course, I'm still working, believe it or not, on defensive warfare against the state, as well as a bunch of other stuff. And so it'll all be there collected for people to access. And I also hope to bring on new contributors. So I don't want it to just be, you know, BR's platform. That's why it's going with the new name, the Anarch. So I want it to be something in the spirit of punk zines. I want something that's gonna elevate people's voices who have something to say. You know, anyone who's in this community who's doing something cool, seeing something cool, and has some penmanship. Or even if it's photography, I mean, whatever, you know, this is a space to experiment and be creative. So any of you out there ever wanted to hop on this kind of thing, something, you know, journalism-ish centric, without all the bullshit, be sure to email me at brtheanarch@protonmail.com. And yeah, let me know if you're interested in trying something out. It's early days, still lots to figure out, but options are good, and get in early, you know? It's just me at the minute. I'm already talking to a few people who might be contributors in the future. But like I said, we're just playing, seeing what works, what doesn't. And yeah, it's gonna keep on evolving. But I'm happy about it. I'm very confident this will be kind of a solid home base to work from while we go through whatever fucking strange era this is, if the dystopian censorship carries on, or if we're gonna have some kind of relief from it and we can operate like normal people again in the future. I don't know. But until then, I'm gonna be on Substack, check me out there, investigate Childeberg, and I think that's all I've got for you. So anyway, be sure to check out our next episode of the Emailisha podcast. I'm not sure which we're going to do first, which we're going to get out first, but I'm going to have both the guys on. That's Typo, S-O-R, Sassy, maybe Jacob. I haven't even spoke about it with him yet, so I gotta get in contact with him, so I'm not making false promises to you guys. So they're going to be coming on for the Childeberg After Action Report. And then we're also bringing on Asicist to talk about the Constitution, as well as Lysander Spooner and his infamous, often misattributed line, "The Constitution is just a gun-free zone sign for conservatives," which is absolutely fucking true. You might have heard Dave Smith, Tom Woods, Michael Malice parrot that. I'm sure plenty of others at this point, but that is originally out of the mouth of Asicist. He's a really fucking kick-ass Twitter theory debater and just lovely dude, Mamet Childeberg. Very nice guy. So we're going to be getting him on to talk about that and to help us shake our conservative loved ones, friends, and acquaintances out of their rut and help them start seeing the world for what it truly is. And I think Ace is the man for that. Seriously, check him out as well, at Asicist on Twitter. You'll be a fan within a day, I promise you. The guy's a fucking maniac. He's just always debating someone, always making some killer points, and shooting someone else's argument full of holes. So, really good guy to learn from just watching that. And just a fucking lovely dude. So, anyway, that is actually all I have for you guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to look out for those. Follow us on the Substack at theanarch.substack.com. And I will see you next time.